الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته، بارك سلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself and you today about a very critical part of our aqidah. And this is our aqidah about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the specific part of that aqidah which I want to talk about is the aqidah with regard to the love of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Obviously, anybody who is a Muslim has believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there is no Islam without believing that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, and that he is the last and final messenger, that he is a truthful messenger, and that he communicated the message. So this is the foundational, the bunyadi baat hai, wo ye hai. And this is part of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So anyone who is a Muslim obviously believes this. I'm not talking about that. That we know is there. But there is another part of this belief about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which relates to specifically to the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, this is not in Islam. The love of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not a matter of individual like or dislike. It's not a matter to say that here was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he was such a nice man and he was such a wonderful person, therefore I love him. It could, that statement could be a personal statement. Well, I love him. I love my father. But does everyone in the world love my father? No. So somebody else says, well, you know what, he's your father, you love him. I don't love your father, he's not my father. So I don't love your father. Somebody might say, I don't even like your father. Like, not only do I not love your father, but I don't even like your father. This is perfectly acceptable. I mean, if it is my father and somebody says, I don't even like your father, I may not like that statement. But that's a matter of personal like and dislike. So this is, but with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's not a matter of personal like and dislike. It's not a matter of saying, well, you know, I love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and you don't love him, so why must I love him? So, and if I'm saying, you should love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, why must I love the Prophet? I don't have to love the Prophet. Allah has not left this to us. And the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't leave it to us is because the love of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a love for the message. You cannot dislike the messenger and like the message, because the message in the case of Islam and in the case of the Quran is not like a messenger as in somebody who brings a letter, a postman or a courier boy who brought a letter. The courier boy or the postman who brings the letter has no connection with that letter. He's just carrying it in his hand. It is not his message. He may carry a whole bag full of letters. He's not connected with every letter. He may not even know what's in the letter, because he is the messenger. So it's not even necessary that he knows what's in the letter. He's carrying the message. Now, anyone who implies or believes or thinks that this is the case with the messengers of Allah is obviously one of two things. Either the person is completely and totally ignorant, jahil hai mutlaq hai, or the person is evil and he wants to sow discord in the hearts of people by denying the messengers. So therefore, love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not a personal thing. It's a matter of accepting the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's message. So the love of the messenger is the love of the message. Now, what is my dalil for saying this? If there was even one dalil, it would be enough. But there is not one dalil, there are several dalil. First and foremost, the best way of looking at it is to look at the Quran itself and say, what, if anything, does the Quran say about loving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I'm not saying about itaat of the Nabi. Watiullah watiur Rasula. This terminology in the Quran has come many, many times. The one who obeys Allah and the one who obeys the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is possible to obey somebody without loving them. this is unfortunately in our case today in the world, in most places, most of the people we obey them out of fear of their evil. We don't obey them because we love them. So it is possible to obey. But in the case of Nabi Wasallam, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mention the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did Allah specifically say love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And if you do not love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what will happen. Did Allah actually say this? And the answer is yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. And the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this is in Surah Tawbah, the ayah number 24, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Qul in kana aba'ukum." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala counted out. Allah counted the things that we normally love, or the people that we normally love. So Allah said, "Qul, say, in kana aba'ukum wa abna'ukum wa ikhwanukum wa azwajukum wa ashiratukum wa amwalun iqtaraftumuha وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَا كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ if you love them more, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala counted out 8 things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, and this say is to whom? Rasulullah. Allah is saying, say to the people, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them that if your fathers, aba'ukum wa abna'ukum, your sons. Now, in this case, in the Quran, when Allah says, Aba'ukum, it means, doesn't mean fathers only, it means fathers and mothers. So, parents. So, Aba'ukum, your parents. Abna'ukum, your sons, your daughters. Azwajukum, your wives and husbands. Your mates. Wa ashiratukum, which is your relatives. So, close relatives, which is your parents and your spouses and your children. And all your relatives. Generally, ashirat. So, four things. Aba'ukum, wa abna'ukum, wa azwajukum, wa ikhwanukum. I forgot that. Aba'ukum, wa abna'ukum, wa ikhwanukum, your brothers and sisters. Wa azwajukum, your mates. Wa ashiratukum. So, five things. All your family. Wa amwalun iqtaraftumuha. The wealth which you have acquired and which you look at and you like to see your wealth and so on and so on. So, وَأَمْوَالٌ اِقْتَرَفْتُمُهَا your wealth which you have acquired and which you have kept and which you like to see. وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَا كَسَادَهَا your trade and your businesses in which you fear a decline. So, I have this business, I love the business. And I fear that maybe one day there will be some loss in the business. So businesses in which you fear a decline. وَأَمْوَالْ نِقْتَرَفْتُمُهَا wealth you keep. وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَا كَسَادَهَا your khashya, your fear that it will decline. وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا and those houses that you build and you look at them and you say, MashaAllah, what a lovely house I have. You feel nice about it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now counted out 8 things. Your personal relationships, your love in terms of people, and your love in terms of things. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ahabba ilaykum min Allahi wa rasulihi wa jihadin fi sabili. Three things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you love these more than you love Allah, if you love these more than you love Rasulullah, and if you love these more than you love jihad fi sabilillah. Now why is jihad fi sabilillah associated with this? Because the love for Allah and the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can be claimed. But Allah is saying you have to love Allah more and you have to love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam more and your claim will not be accepted. You have to prove the claim. And what is the proof of the claim? All of these things which you claim to love less than Allah and less than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you should be able to sacrifice them for the love of Allah and for the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is jihad fi sabilillah. You have your wealth, you must spend it in the path of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have your wives and children and your time and so on and so forth, you must spend it in the path of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses you, then your life you must give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then only your claim to love Allah and His Messenger will be accepted. The jihad in fi sabilillah is jihad in fi sabilihi is the proof of this love which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, not only must you love Allah and His Messenger more than you love everything else, but even the claim will not be accepted until you prove it. And then, what if I don't? What if I don't? See the ayat and see the command and see the jalal and see the within quotes the hardness and harshness with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then spoke. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you do not do this, jihad fi sabili, Allah said, if this is not the case, if you don't love this, fatarabbasu, Allah said, get out. فَتَرَبَّصُوا get out, and not just get out, فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ, get out and wait for the azab of Allah which will come on you. And that is not enough. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then further reiterated and said, وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ, verily Allah will not guide. Allah is not saying Allah will not guide. What is the meaning of Allah will not guide? It means that you will not be given the opportunity to make tawbah. Allah will not guide means that you will not get the opportunity to make tawbah. Wallahi, I have seen this in my life. I have seen people who were, in terms of amal, people who were into all kinds of things, people who were into drinking and gambling and zina and all kinds of things. And those people turned completely around and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them and those people became, wa alaykum as-salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, they became beautiful people. But I have yet to see somebody who did not love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who was disrespectful of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who said, who did not show the kind of respect that is due to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have yet to see somebody like that ever guided. Never happens. They die on that. And that is proof of the ayat of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Wallahu la yahdil qawm al fasiqin. Allah promised not to guide. Allah will not guide. Now, this ayah therefore is evidence to say that the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is obligatory. It is fun. It is something which attracts a very severe punishment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ, according to me, is the fatwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of kufr. Because Allah's azab is not promised to a Muslim. فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ means, you are a kafir, get out, wait for the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying, please, no, you're mistaken, please come back. No, get out. You don't love my Nabi more than you love all these things, get out. Allah is not even saying, if you don't love my Nabi, you have to love my Nabi, you must love him more than everything else. This is the condition. Not the matter of saying, no, I love my... Now, think about this. Allah is not saying here in this ayah that love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than you love things which otherwise are not either not halal directly or, you know, some... Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enumerated with regard to love? Love for the parents. Abawakum. Now, love for the parents in the Quran is reiterated several times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, lower the wing of kindness to them, don't even say oof to them. Right? So the position of the parents is reiterated again and again and again. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now Allah is counting that as the number one. All of this true about your parents. Jannah is under the feet of your mother, your father is the door of the Jannah and so on and so forth. But if you love that mother and if you love that father more than you love my Nabi, go and wait for my adab. So it's not just a matter of saying, loving, you know, I love this and I love my clothes. No. Even the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to love and respect beyond anybody else, which is the parent, number one. In terms of hukuk ul ibad, number one is the parent. Even them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, despite all of this, if you love them more than you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, go and wait for my adab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised his azab. Not accident. Allah said, I will give azab. And I will not guide. You will not be allowed to make tawbah. This is how serious it is. This is how serious it is. So the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is obligatory. And the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is something that if you do not have more than you have for anyone and everyone else, then this is something which will attract the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one. Number two, the dalil from the hadith. This hadith is narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu about himself. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resting in a place which was like a pavilion, a little bit away from his house. And there's a whole story of why that happened and so on and so on. We won't go into that just now. And he was lying, he didn't have an upper garment, he was not wearing a shirt. And he was lying on a mat, a hasir, which was made of palm fronds. So, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu came to see him. When he was admitted, and again, it's a whole story, I won't go into the whole detail of it, just stick to the point that I want to make. When he was admitted to the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sat up. When he sat up, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu saw the marks of the hasir on the back and the side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was lying on it, so the hasir's marks were on the skin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu felt bad about that. He says, "My Nabi is lying on this hard mat," and so he commented on that, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than I love anyone else. I love you more than I love anything else except myself." Now, this also shows the beautiful ikhlas of the Sahaba. I mean, what truthful people, what beautiful people, that they did not have any semblance of deception in them. Absolutely nothing. Because if you think about it, what was the need for him to say this in the first place? I mean, isn't it enough to say, I love you more than anybody else? Khalas. Right? The fact that you love yourself more, meaning that if it came to, if I have to choose between my life and your life, I will not sort of sacrifice you, but I will save myself. I will save myself. Is there a need to say that? There's no need to say that. There was absolutely no need to say it. But this was the Sahab, this was the nature of the Sahab, this was the nature of Sayyidina Umar especially, where what was in his heart was what was on his face. What was in his heart was what was on his tongue. There was no discord, was complete congruence between feeling and thought and speech and action, which is what we should try to get. And this is the sign of absolutely the complete absence of nifaq of any kind at all. There's no dissonance between what's in the heart and what's in the tongue. He says, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says this. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's reaction to that. Think about that. Here is the man saying, I love you more than anybody else except myself. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have accepted it. It's natural, tabi'i cheez hai bhai, insan hai. So it's okay. What did he say? He said, by the one in whose hand is the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, your iman is not complete until you love me more than anyone else, including yourself. Now, is this some kind of self-promotion? Is this some kind of self-promotion? Now you are in this, saying, you must love me more than anything else, and I'm trying to propagate my... This is the essence of the aqidah of the Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not talking about himself as a person, as I told you. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a person who in himself was worthy of all the love that we could give him. But this is nothing to do with the personality of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This has to do with the institution of Risala. It has to do with the institution of prophethood and messengership. The institution of Nubuwwat and Risala. Because if you do not love the prophet, if you do not love the messenger, you cannot love the message. As I told you, in this case, the messenger is not like a postman who brings a letter, he doesn't even know what's in the letter. Here, the messenger is part of the message. And I will tell you in a minute how. Again, the read of the Quran. So, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Your iman is not complete until you love me more than you love anyone and everything, anyone and everyone else, including yourself. Now see the ikhlas of Umar ibn Khattab. See the duty and truthfulness of somebody like Umar ibn Khattab. If I was in his place or anybody else was in his place, what would you say? He said, no, Ya Rasul, that's what I meant. I'm sorry. You know, I did not convey it properly. I mean, I'm sorry. I said it in a way you were. You may not say you are mistaken out of adab, but you say, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't convey it properly. But that's what I meant. Not Umar ibn al-Khattab. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu kept silent. He went away. After some time, he came back. And he said, Ya Rasulallah, now I love you more than anyone and anything else, including myself. Now this is the issue of the heart, the qalb. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, why did he keep quiet? Because he was reflecting. This is what my position is. He goes away, he does what he has to do with his heart in terms of the love for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he is satisfied that yes, in my heart now I love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than I love anybody else, now he comes and tells him, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than anybody else, including myself. And the response of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to this, he said, Al-an ya Umar. He said, now ya Umar. Now the Muhaddithin have given two explanations for this response. They said, now ya Umar could mean only now your iman is complete. Who is this being said to? One of the Khulafa Rashida. So only now your iman is complete. The second possible explanation is, it took you this long to understand this. So both the responses to say that is so important and something which you should have understood earlier, and now your iman is complete. Now your iman is complete. So this is the issue of the love of Rasulullah. Now, how is the message and the messenger, how are they interlinked? Because I said that the Prophet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and this is true for all the messengers, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not a messenger in the sense, na'udhu billah, as some of these people who imply these things and they say these things and say, na'udhu billah, that they say that, you know, he was a messenger like a postman or something who brings a letter. Apart from being the ultimate gustakhi against the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which renders you out of Islam, and that gustakh person is out of Islam. Apart from that, the issue is that it shows again a complete lack of understanding of what the Quran is and what the message is. As I said, a normal messenger is carrying up. He's just an object. I mean, he's like a conveyor belt. You know, instead of the person giving you the letter, it could be thrown on a conveyor belt and it will get to you. So that is not the case with the messengers of Allah. The messengers of Allah, the messenger and the message are together, they are interlinked, they are one. I give you a dalil of this from the Quran and from our own perception. The Quran, with regard to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that verily it's our ni'mah on the believers. We sent our blessing on the believers that we produce from them a messenger who was from among them, who did four things. What did he do? Yatlu alayhim ayatihi. He recited the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before them. Wa yuzakkihim, to purify them. Wa yu'allimuhum al-kitab, to teach them this kalam, which has just been recited. Not because they did not know Arabic, it was in kalam is in Arabic, they are Arabs. But they need to be taught, meaning that there is more to it than the recitation. Wal hikmah, and to teach them how to apply it. So, what is the impression you are getting? Is it a messenger who brings a piece of paper and hands it to you? No. He is first announcing, this is the message. Now, get prepared to receive the message by purifying yourself. Now sit here and learn. This is what the message actually means. Then see me implementing the message. The final dalil and the most best way of illustrating what I've just said is to understand that those who claim, why do we need to love the Prophet ﷺ? Why do we need to look at the life of Prophet ﷺ? Then ask them the question and say, then how will you establish salah? Allah said, aqimus salah. And if you say, I don't need the life of Muhammad ﷺ, no problem, don't look at it. Then tell me, how will you pray? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not show us how to pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, you pray. And He gave the hukum to pray, but He did not show us how to pray. Instead, He showed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how to pray. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. He said, pray as you see me pray. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us what is the meaning of salah. How does salah start? How does it continue? How does it end? When is it to be prayed? How many rakat to be prayed? What is to be recited in it? In each position, what is to be recited? All of this is from the seerah. It is nothing in the Quran. So we understand, therefore, that the seerah is the tafsir of the Quran. The seerah is the explanation of the Quran. And if somebody says, I don't need the seerah, I don't need the life of Muhammad, the Quran is enough for me, then this person is completely ignorant of the Quran. And this person is then one of those who Rasulullah also prophesied about. And he said, among the last signs of the last day are those people who will recline on their sofas and couches. And they will say, the Quran is enough for us. Nabi Sallallahu specifically mentioned these people who like to call themselves Quraniyin and who like to call themselves Ahlul Quran. And he said, these people will come. And this is from the signs of the last day. And these people will recline on couches and they will say, the Quran is enough for us. We do not say the Quran is not enough. Let me understand. Make this very clear. Of course the Quran is enough. We also say the Quran is enough. But we say the Quran is the word of Allah and its meaning and its demonstration. The Quran is not only the writing. It's not only the writing. It is the writing, it is the meaning, understanding of it, and it's the demonstration of it. If I am learning judo or karate, if I am learning a martial art, and I say that this book of judo is enough for me, so no problem, now come and fight. Come and fight. Right? That's nonsense. If you really are learning judo, is the book important? Of course, you must read some theory. So therefore, the book is here. Now what must you do? Go to the dojo and learn how to fight. Same thing which is in the book. But somebody is showing it to you. And anyone who has done anything, you know that between reading about something and seeing its demonstration and practicing it yourself, there is a vast difference, a world of difference. There's a world of difference. And that is what we believe. Is the Quran enough for us? Of course it's enough for us. But in our understanding, the Quran is the word. It is the understanding of it, the meaning of it. And it is the demonstration of seeing how this is to be practiced. Whereas those who say the Quran is enough for us, they are saying only the writing, the letter is enough for us, which is a nonsensical statement. So the point I'm saying is that the love for Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is something which is obligatory in this deen. The one who does not have it, must make tawbah. He must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put it in his heart. And the way to get it into his heart is to read the seerah and to put it there. If somebody is against that, then, wallah alam, I'm not sitting here making fatwa. I gave you the dalail of the Quran. You can come to your own conclusions about whether this person, who this person is and what will happen to this person. May Allah save us from such people. May Allah save us from such aqaid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us his tawfiq to understand his kalam and to understand the blessed and most honored position of Muhammad Rasulullah in the way that it is to be understood. So that we can correct our deen, and when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not among those to whom Allah said, فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. We ask Allah to save us from being among those people to whom He promised His azab And he promised not to guide them, meaning that he promised that they will not have the opportunity to enter. We ask Allah to save us from that calamity and to help us to live our lives as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to live them, and to according to the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika.